This is the Quick Hits Podcast with the Missile.
It is the Quick Hits Podcast, another episode, 30 minutes, nonstop fired up topics that you're not hearing elsewhere. Today, I'm going to talk about some gambling tips, something you could have learned from the Oklahoma State-Boise State game. Why everyone here, you heard everyone on Sports Animal pick Boise State, why we're all wrong, and something to think about when you're gambling. That's coming up at the 21-minute mark. About 10 minutes, I'm going to talk about the Big 12 and playoff positioning, what matters, what doesn't. I'm here to clear everything up and also mention a little bit about the OU-Iowa State game, talk a little bit about that. But first, I am the Latvian Missile, Josh Kopelman, the host. You can follow me
on Twitter
at Latvian Missile. And yes, I use that Stephen A. Smith sound clip every show because it's hilarious. So thanks for Stephen A. for coming on the show every single podcast. I am going to talk about the Oklahoma State Cowboys right here because there's something that people are missing with Oklahoma State.
I like Oklahoma State.
Like, that was a great win last week. I was dead wrong about him. I thought Boise State would win just because the quarterback was better. I was worried about Taylor Cornelius, how he would struggle, how he would do against a pass rush, how we would do if Boise State was able to take away the run. Well, guess what? It didn't matter. And I kind of said this before, and I kind of ignored my own advice, which is why you should always listen to the Missile when the Missile says something. Because I'm usually right about it. Now, I was wrong about the Boise State game. I was wrong about Boise State winning. But I was right about you don't need a good quarterback at Oklahoma State to win this year. This is something that you keep hearing that, oh, the Big 12, you need a good quarterback. Someone's got to win it. Well, you don't. And Spinozzi was the first one to say this, so I got to give him credit where credit's due. He said Oklahoma State's going to make the Big 12 title game. I don't know if they will. There are four teams that have a shot at it. But I'll say this. Oklahoma State is a legitimate contender. They did not struggle against the pass rush. Taylor Cornelius did not struggle against the pass rush because there wasn't a pass rush. The O-line was really good that game. The O-line made big holes for Justice Hill, and Justice Hill can run. J.D. King can run, although he didn't do as well as Justice Hill. Justice Hill was running all over Boise State because he had the holes, and once he goes to the holes, it's all about the running backs, and Justice Hill is the best running back in the Big 12 right now. So he ran all over him. Cornelius was also pretty good at quarterback. I thought he was played above average. Look, he's not the best quarterback there is, but he didn't need to be good for this offense to win. Or for this Oklahoma State team to win. He struggled out of the gates, although early in the game, you know, there was a drop, and then one of the incompletions, it was a long ball. He was throwing it deep, but it was into double coverage, so he kind of threw it out of bounds. That may have been on purpose. So I don't really think that he was just terrible at the start. He was obviously better in the second half. He made a couple throws. That opened up the defense just enough to get Justice Hill going in the running game. And once they have Justice Hill going in the running game, it's over. That team's going to be really, really tough to beat. So it was an impressive performance. And also, on the other side of the ball, boy, Jordan Brailford was just spectacular. Spectacular in that game. He was in the backfield just about every play. They were stuffing the run. Boise State couldn't get anything going on the ground because that D-line was so dominant. I mean, Brailford was just spectacular that game. I think he had a couple sacks. The punts, of course, the punt blocks. That was a great job by the OSU coaching staff. They saw it coming. So it's a good all-around effort by Oklahoma State. And when the defense is playing that good, they're going to be tough to beat because the offense is still going to move the ball even if Cornelius isn't having a good game. Which a lot of the times, he's really not. Because he's not really, I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. I think he's shown that he can be average at times. But they don't need it. Again, they don't need him to be that good. He does not need to be good for Oklahoma State to be successful. And I think the thing that most people are missing out on with this win, and Spinozzi was jumped on it at the beginning of the season, it's that OSU is legitimate Big 12 title contenders. OSU is not fourth tier right now. when we're going to the Big 12, we're looking at contenders. Obviously, OU's still up there. OSU's right there with them. TCU's right there with them. And West Virginia is right there with them. Those are the top four teams in the Big 12. Even though I think Texas may beat TCU this week, I still would put TCU up there towards the top rather than Texas. And I'd probably still have TCU over West Virginia. But the thing is that OSU's a legitimate Big 12 title contender. In Boise State, the last couple of years, they've been kind of down for Boise State. You know, maybe they've been maybe making an appearance in the top 25 poll, been around there. This is a legitimate Boise State team. This is probably, Boise State could end up as a top 15 team in the country. And Oklahoma State smoked them at home. So people need to respect Oklahoma State. This football team is actually legitimate. Now, hey, does it mean they're getting their first conference title since 2011? No, not necessarily. They're going to have to beat, they don't even have to beat someone twice. They have to win the Big 12 title game for that, obviously. I know people like to say, oh, you got to beat someone twice. No, you just got to make the game. Like, they lose to OU and Norman in November. Well, they play OU again, and that's their only Big 12 loss. They play OU again in December. They win that. They win the Big 12. They only had to beat them once. So that's my point on that. But the Boise State, to say that Boise State isn't any good, and I think a lot of people are acting like Boise State's just not very good because they're a group of five school, I think that's just wrong. And I think people are going to be a little surprised just how good this Cowboy team is. I know everyone knows that they're good right now, but this is a top 10 team right now. I mean, you look across the country, there are some teams that have better resumes, and I don't really like to look at schedule when you're talking about how good a team is. Like, LSU has two top 10 wins. They have the best resume in the country. That does not make them better than, like, Alabama. And I don't think LSU's better than OU or OSU, and maybe not even better than TCU or West Virginia. But I'll have to get into that at some other time. But this OSU team, they're a legitimate contender. They don't need to be that good at quarterback. We'll see if special teams can keep it up. I think that's more of a slight on Boise State not being very good on the punt return. I mean, I think you all heard the announcers saying just how slow they were getting it off. But it also shows that the coaching's pretty smart at Oklahoma State on the special teams. If they're going to come after it when Boise State is going really slow. So I think Oklahoma State, I am all aboard the Oklahoma State hype train now. They've convinced me. That was an impressive win. And here's the thing that was really impressive about it. The other thing, the basics of football. What is that? It is basically how far you move the ball close to your goal line versus how far you let the opponent move their ball to their goal line. Because that's how you score, through touchdowns. Obviously, the better team moves the ball and scores in their goal line more often than the bad teams who don't move the ball as far. So if you look at that, you go back and you watch that game. So this is something to look out for. And this is something that you can tell how good a team is. And it's kind of obvious when you think about it. It makes a lot of sense. But it's something that people don't pay attention to too much. And it's how often you're in third and long. So Oklahoma State, the second half, how often were they in third and long? Not at all. They were marching down the field. They were getting first downs on first down or second down every time. You know, Cornelius throw right side 8 yards. Second down, run up the middle, first down. Or first down, Justice Hill, 7-yard gain. Second down, 12-yard gain. They weren't facing many third downs. That's a sign of a team that's playing really good and is much better in the competition. Now think about Boise State. How many times were they in third and long? Every single time, it seemed. Third and six, even though they converted some of them, they converted, you know, some third and eights, first down. Third and six, pass to the tight end, first down. They ended up getting a touchdown. I think one of them was on third down. But when you're in third and long, you're not going to convert as much. You're going to have to punt more, like Boise State did. And that leads to the other team getting the ball back. And Oklahoma State kind of dominated that because Oklahoma State wasn't facing third and long, and Boise State was. And the other thing to show how dominant the Cowboys were against the Broncos, the two touchdowns that Boise State got early was a one-handed grab, and the other one was a diving catch. I think the first one was the diving catch. Now, that was a poorly thrown ball, and he had the DB beat. But the thing is, when you're giving up tough catches where, you know, receiver has to dive and the receiver has to catch it one-handed, that's probably a sign that you're the better team. So I am all aboard the Oklahoma State hype train with Spinozzi. I give it up to the Cowboys and their fans. They played well against Boise State. Next, I talk a little about the Big 12, how the playoff scenarios work out, and I'll mention OU. I was in Ames for that game. This is the Quick Hits Podcast with the Missile.
Here comes a shot.
It is the Quick Hits Podcast, and I am the Missile, Josh Kopelman, with you guys. Coming up next segment, I talk about how the Boise State-Oklahoma State game should get you to think about gambling in the future. That there's something you're missing, and if you can kind of think about this stuff, you'll be a more successful gambler. That's coming up at the 21-minute mark. Right now, I'm talking about the Big 12 Conference. And the playoffs, and something I'm hearing that I think people are missing out on when it comes to the playoffs. I think people just kind of overthink this. Like, you look at it, you know, sometimes when you're on the outside looking in, you come up with theories that just don't matter. You know, and I think some of that happened with Oklahoma State and Cornelius. You know, people thought, looking from the outside in, a lot of people, yeah, I thought that, hey, Drew Brown or Spencer Sanders is going to win that job, or Mike Gundy's not very confident in him. And sometimes the simplest answer is the truth. And the truth was what Mike Gundy was saying all along, which is that Cornelius has been the best quarterback. It's just as simple as that. Well, this is what happens in the college football playoff, too, when it comes to that, is people start saying about, oh, well, the committee likes this team better, or Alabama's going to get in no matter what. Or, I mean, Jim said this to me on the show. We were kind of debating about it. Jim said if Georgia and Alabama are both undefeated in the championship game, they're both getting into the playoffs. And I said, I think that's wrong. And here's why I think it's wrong. It's not necessarily, I guess I shouldn't say that it's wrong. I should say that there's a scenario where that's not happening. So one of the criteria that the committee uses is conference champions. But also the main thing they've shown is how many losses you have. That's the other tiebreaker. That's the number one tiebreaker. So if a Big 12 champ only has one loss, say Washington wins every other game they play, they win the Pac-12. Ohio State only loses one game, they win the Big 10. And we'll say Oklahoma only loses one game, they win the Big 12 championship. Well, the loser of the SEC title game is out. Or even if Clemson has one loss through the ACC, the loser of the SEC title game's out, no matter what in that scenario. And someone else could be left on the outside looking in as well, because there'd be 5-1 loss teams. So, yeah, I don't think that if Georgia and Bama are both undefeated, I don't think they're necessarily both in. Now, if, say, OU wins the Big 12 with 2 losses and Ohio State wins the Big 10 with 2 losses, okay, I can hear it. I would think that both those teams are in if one of them's only lost to the other. But I think the main thing that people are missing out on in the college football playoffs is every conference sucks but the SEC. Every conference is at a downturn. And people like to look at it like, oh, the committee is going to say if the Big 12 stuff in the Big 10, the Big 12 winner's in. That's not how it works. But I'm going to go through why all the conferences stink right now. I mean, how many does the Big 12 have a big win? Is Boise State the best win for the Big 12? I know West Virginia's crushed Tennessee. Tennessee stinks. Texas crushed USC. USC's awful. Oklahoma beat UCLA. UCLA's terrible. TCU lost to Ohio State. No shame in that. Ohio State's really good. But there's no big wins. I do think there's a clear top four in the Big 12. OU, OSU, West Virginia, Texas. Or, excuse me, TCU. Not Texas. But I don't think the Big 12 is any good. But then we compare it to the other conferences. The Pac-12, they have no big wins. None at all. Arizona State over Michigan State is probably the biggest one, and Arizona State went and lost to San Diego State. So the Pac-12 is also awful. Then we go to the Big Ten. Michigan State's lost a game. Michigan lost to Notre Dame, which might not end up being bad. But, I mean, you look at the rest of the week. Wisconsin lost to BYU. Nebraska loses to Troy. The Big Ten stinks. I'm not saying which conference is better. I'm just saying, trying to point out why all the conferences stink. In the ACC, they got Clemson and no one else. Maybe Virginia Tech. And then the SEC's had some great wins. Mississippi State over Kansas State, blowing them out. It was because it was blowout fashion. If it was a close game, it would have been as impressive. LSU, two top 10 wins. I know one of them's over Auburn, though, but they did beat crush Miami. Bama's Bama. So the SEC, every conference but the SEC sucks. So again, one conference being better than the other isn't going to make a difference. The committee does not sit there. Don't sit there and say that. Just calm down. Listen right now. Listen to this part. This is going to be important all football season long, especially in December. All right. You're listening? The committee does not care what conference you come from when it's picking you for the playoffs. It has shown that last year when they picked two SEC teams in there. Why'd they do it? Because they thought those were the two best teams. They do it by how many losses you have as the number one tiebreaker. Did you win your conference as the number two tiebreaker? Ohio State had two losses last year. Yeah, they won the Big Ten, but they didn't get in. Penn State didn't get in 2 years ago because they had two losses. So no matter what happens, no matter how weak your conference is, and remember, they all suck this year, you're in with one loss or less as long as everyone else doesn't have a one-loss champion. The only year that a one-loss champion got left out was the Baylor TCU year 2014, the first season. And that's because the Big Ten had a one-loss champion in Ohio State. The Pac-12 had a one-loss champion in Oregon. And that was when Oregon was really dominant. SEC had Alabama, who may have been undefeated. No, they had one loss that year. They had one loss. And the SEC had Florida State. And ACC had Florida State. Florida State was undefeated that year, folks. That's why they got in. They were probably the worst out of the bunch, too, and they got smoked by Oregon. So that's it. It's all about how many games you lose. Once you lose that second game, you're probably out. A two-loss team has not gotten in to the playoffs. I think I got that right. I don't think no one's gotten in with two losses. They've shown that how many losses matters. So what does that mean? As much as it sucks and I hate the bad games, it means you got to schedule easier. TCU playing Ohio State hurts the Big 12 more than it would if TCU was playing Illinois. And I know you're like, no, the committee takes strength of schedule. What do you think strength of schedule is? It's your record and your opponent's records. So TCU being undefeated makes it a tougher schedule than Ohio State. Now, on an individual level, that might hurt them a little bit. But you know what? Washington got in when they played Rutgers as their only non-conference Power 5 game. So I'm not too worried about that. So I think when teams schedule in the future, scheduling weaker is going to help you a lot more than scheduling tougher. The big wins, yeah, it can catapult you into the games. But the year Ohio State beat OU, I mean, that made the difference, but it was a one-loss Ohio State team. I think that made the bigger difference. They only lost one game. The year OU made it last year, it was only a one-loss OU team. And it kind of kept Ohio State out of it. If Ohio State hadn't played OU, they would have been a one-loss conference champion, and they would have been in. If OU hadn't played Ohio State the year before, they played Illinois or Indiana, they'd have been in. They would have been a one-loss champion. Who knows? Maybe Washington would have got the nod. But I'm just saying, the way the committee's doing this is by losses, how many losses you have, and that's hurting strength of schedule. I mean, that kind of gives incentive for teams to schedule a little easier. I do want to talk about OU here real quick, because I was at the game in Ames. Kyler Murray has been spectacular this season. He's been phenomenal. He's surprising. He's way more accurate than I thought he'd be. He's having a really good season. He also run around. I think the big thing for OU's offense, why it's still humming like it is, and it's another dominant offense right now. It's humming like it is because Kyler Murray doesn't get sacked. They don't have a lot of negative plays. I think they only punted once to Iowa State in like 8 drives. So that was impressive. The defense, obviously, I mean, you don't need me to tell you that there was issues in the secondary that game. That's what the tackling was the issues. I did think the D-line was good. I agreed with Lincoln Riley. Neville Gallimore, I believe it was him. I hope I'm getting the right guy on that. He looked like he was in the backfield almost every play. The D-line was dominant, but, I mean, the secondary needs work. And there's no surprise there. OU's still a dominant team. I don't want to hear about how tough Army is. I know all week, this triple option is tough to prepare for. They're a 30.5-point favorite. It's not that tough. You know what's even tougher than preparing for the Army offense? Preparing for the Oklahoma State offense. Preparing for the West Virginia offense. Even though it's not triple option, it'll be a lot tougher than preparing for Army this week. So I don't want to hear how tough of a game this is, but OU is very impressive in Ames. And the other thing, real quick to remember, is you can still be a title contender and still play games like that where it's only like a 10-point win at Ames. I know people are like, oh, that's not a good win. They barely beat Iowa State. Well, I mean, look, if you're an Oklahoma State fan and you're pointing that out, Oklahoma State's going to have a couple games where they struggle. And my quick example on this of teams still being title contenders and struggling is Oklahoma last year. Only beat Baylor by 8, only beat Texas by 1 on a neutral field, only beat Kansas State by 7 in Manhattan. So good teams can struggle and still have successful seasons. Up next, I'm going to talk to about what you can learn, what you should have learned from the Boise State-Oklahoma State game that'll help you as a better gambler. Remember, everyone picked Boise State on the sports animal, and Oklahoma State won. And I was the only one to pick Iowa State, by the way, to cover. So I'm going to tell you what you can learn about that stuff. This is Quick Hits Podcast. I am the Missile.
I got a good lock. Firing.
This is the Quick Hits Podcast. I am the Missile. It's gambling time. Every week on the podcast, the last segment, I always end with little gambling tips. Today I'm going to talk about, you know, I started out talking about OSU and Boise State and about how OSU is legitimate contenders and how you can learn some things. Well, this is going to be another tip about kind of obvious lines. There's no such thing as a trap. I'll get into all this in just a minute. First, I do want to say that I will also be giving out, I'll give out a couple picks at the end of the segment, towards the end of the segment. And by the way, those picks that I've given out are 14-0, I believe. And if you're thinking that, oh, there's no way you're 14-0, Missile. Well, go back and check the records out. Because if you can't find the records, I'm undefeated.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
But seriously, these aren't like guaranteed plays. They're not all going to win. Anyway, back to the OSU Boise thing. And the main thing that I want to get on there is everyone here picked Oklahoma State. Everyone jumped on the Boise State bandwagon. And there was one really huge reason of why we did that. It's because Boise State's quarterback is better than OSU's quarterback. Ripien is better than Taylor Cornelius. And I still think that's true today. But this is kind of the lesson that I want to say to gambling. It's that there might be something that you're missing. Usually people are up there, oh, there's no way they're going to stop the run game. Oh, there's no way they're going to be able to pass on this team. I'm betting the other one. Or there's no way they're going to be able to stop this offense. But there's always something you got to look at that you could be missing. And what we were missing in the Oklahoma State-Boise State game, everyone that went on the Oklahoma State side, were two big things. Number one, special teams. OSU blocked 2 punts in that game. The Boise State special teams stinks. There's no doubt about it. Boise State special teams are terrible. Oklahoma State had a great game plan. They knew Boise State was going to be slow. You heard the announcers talk about how, you know, they time it up and it takes Boise a while to get away with the snap or get away with the kick. Well, OSU took advantage of that. They did a great job. You got to tip your cap to them. And they got a couple block punts. But there's one other thing we were missing, and I think it was a big time thing. And that was the D-line. Jordan Brailford was spectacular in that game. He was in the backfield just about every play. The OSU D-line lit it up. Boise State really just couldn't block him at all. And I know I kind of talked about that earlier, so I won't go in depth about it again here. But what we were missing is that OSU's D-line was so dominant, Boise State wasn't going to block him. Thus, Boise State was going to end up in those third and longs. Oklahoma State, every time it was third down, it was third and short, or they were getting first downs because they could block better. And that's something that you miss. So when you go through the lines this week, kind of think about that, where instead of just being like, well, I mean, let me find a line where there might be an example. Well, Notre Dame, of course they're going to beat Wake Forest. There's no way they lose to them. You know, Notre Dame is minus 8 this week, 7.5 to 8, depending on which book you're getting. And if you like Notre Dame, grab the 7.5. There's no way. Well, I mean, think about what could be a weakness for Notre Dame that you might be missing out. I mean, maybe the quarterback play, like they're not passing as well as they like to. Maybe Wake Forest is really good against the run. I mean, just because you lose big and Wake Forest lost by 14 last week doesn't mean you're going to lose again. That's another thing. Always pay attention to the weather conditions. Always, always, always pay attention to the weather conditions when you're picking totals. You know, I mean, those are the kinds of things, though, that you really need to think about. And one of these lines, I think where people are going to be missing something, is TCU-Texas. Everyone's going to be all over TCU. Texas coming off a big win, and TCU just lost to Ohio State, but Ohio State's a good team. And usually when you pick a team that is coming off a loss like that, yeah, people like to say, you know, like coming off a big win like Texas was, people like to say that they're going to play worse the next week. Well, really, most of the time it's like, oh, this team's really good, they're going to stay good. But Texas played an opponent that is not really good in USC. And every single person has said that, hey, USC isn't very good. So they're discounting the win for Texas, whereas TCU lost, like, well, Ohio State's good. There might be a chance of upset here. And this might be a play. Texas plus 3 or better, I think, is something that you may look at. So think about that stuff. Hey, what am I missing? When I pick a game, what am I missing? You know, like the Oregon game, Oregon State, or Oregon San Jose State. I said last week I liked Oregon. Yeah, I know, you're 12-0. I thought you're undefeated. No, no, no. I missed out Oregon. It was my T&W Tire Lock of the Week. So here's what when I looked at it, well, Oregon's a really fast team. They scored a bunch of points in their first two games. They're going to go out there, going to be able to run, name the score on San Jose State. San Jose State might be the worst team in Division I. I said San Jose State, there's no way they're putting up any more than 21. That's 21 at most. Oregon State should easily score 50-plus, 60-plus. Or Oregon, excuse me. I said Oregon State there. Well, the Ducks went out there, and at halftime, they only had 21 points. They ended up with 35 in the game. Yes, they won easily. It ended up being 35-22. San Jose State had a late score, so what's wrong about them getting 21-plus? But the thing that I was missing out on that I should have looked at, number one, Oregon plays Stanford this week at home. So the Ducks are probably holding something back, maybe a little bit. I don't like to get that too much because that's something you don't really know. You know, you can take a guess on it, but just because you take a guess on it doesn't mean you're going to be right. And it might end up being, and if you're on the wrong side of the guess, it's going to make your prediction even worse. The other thing that I was missing out on was that Oregon wasn't going to play as fast against a team like San Jose State. And they didn't. And that's why it cost me a loss right there. So try to look at every single angle. Don't just look at, oh, they won big, they're going to win. It's going to be so easy to win that game.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due!
Because, again, nothing's easy. As I'll say this a bunch of times. There's nothing more efficient than the betting market. And just think about this, because it's because you can literally put a price on what you believe in. So if I'm sitting here and I'm going to say, like, oh, I think Texas is going to win by 10 against TCU, I could put money down on that. I mean, I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying I could put money on it. I'm not. But you can literally say, how much is that worth? And if I put $100 down on it, it's literally worth $100. That's how much my opinion is literally worth. And if you don't bet, well, I don't bet. Well, then your opinion is worthless. It's literally worth $0. So think about it. So it's the most efficient thing that there is. The betting market. There's nothing more efficient than that. But the thing, a lot of people like to say trap games, and people are going to say, oh, Texas looks like a trap game against TCU. Texas could be a pick because it's a trap game. Trap games don't exist because of the reason why the market is so efficient. And that reason is you're putting your money down on what you believe will happen in the outcome of the game. People are doing that. And when there's enough money down, if there's millions of dollars on both sides, the line's going to be pretty efficient. You know, in an infinite amount of time, the average score of TCU at Texas is probably going to be a TCU 3-point victory. Will they win whatever the money line is going to be? Will they win probably 55% of the time? So don't sit there and buy into trap games because you're not betting against the book necessarily. You're betting against someone else that thinks the opposite. Like if you like TCU, you're probably betting against me who's going to be picking Texas plus 3 most likely towards the end of the week. A couple other games I like. I like New Mexico State minus 2.5 against UTEP. UTEP is the worst team in Division I. Baylor, I may play that. 7.5 against Kansas might be something you look at. And Baylor-Kansas first half over. I would like that if it's around 26 or less is what it looks like. Sorry about that. I had that math wrong a little bit. It's around 31 or less. I would like that one too. That's something to look at. And OU Army under second half, if you're into second half lines, you're looking at it. That's a game I think it's going to be a blowout. Army already plays slow. They're not going to speed things up against the Sooners. So that's a couple things you can look at this week. And I also like Iowa plus a 3.5 against Wisconsin. And in that game as well, too, you may look at it the first half total. I would take it under if it's 24 or lower. And I'd probably go over the total for the first half of that game if it's 19 or higher. All right, hopefully that helps you out. Just remember to think about everything when you're gambling. This has been the Quick Hits Podcast. I'm The Missile. Thanks for listening. Be back next week with another podcast. Also, this Saturday, if you're listening to the Sports Animal, I'll be doing a show from 11 to 1:30, be giving you all the updates on what's going on in college football, plus thoughts, OU, OSU, and more. This has been the Quick Hits Podcast with The Missile.